We've had a couple of references already this morning to Thanksgiving, and I'm glad we have a somewhat of a thankful nation, at least to have this Thanksgiving celebration. And I trust that all of you enjoyed your Thanksgiving and had a good time with family and friends. And you know, Thanksgiving started in 1621. And the Plymouth colonists and the Indians shared an autumn harvest feast. And later it was called Thanksgiving. And I began to think about this and thought about the fact, as we've already prayed today, we've already thought about that for Christians, every day is Thanksgiving. That every day is the giving of thanks. And I want to share a lesson with you, and I want to begin by getting just a little bit technical this morning so that we understand what this word thanksgiving means. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. One of the words that we find in our Bible in the Greek text is charis. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, we see that it is translated this way: I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was thankful. He had gratitude in his heart to the Lord, that the Lord had strengthened him and considered him to be faithful, putting him into service. And because the Lord had done this for him, he was thankful. And the word charis, as it's used here, means gratitude toward another for what he has done. And when we talk about thanksgiving and when we talk about being thankful to God, we need to understand that it is because we have this deep gratitude in our heart for what God has done for us. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 2, and let me remind you that the word is also used in this way. Ephesians chapter 2, and just a few verses there. The first one is verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, speaking of God, made us alive together with Christ by grace. Now here is the word grace. And this is a translation of charis, the exact same word we're talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And here this is looking toward the disposition of mind of God to do something for us that we do not deserve, and that is to save us and the offering of His Son. And here we need to understand that as we look at God's grace, His gifts toward us, and what He has done for us, then the result is thanksgiving. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Pointing this out even further and the differences we have in the translation of this word, charis, into the English language, and it appears in different ways here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the New American Standard says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now your translation may say grace if you're reading from one of the King James translations, grace in your hearts. If you're reading from the New International Version, it may say gratitude in your hearts. And so the first point this morning is that we give thanks to God, that we are thankful, that we offer thanksgiving to God because of the gratitude in our heart to God for what He's done for us. And here, I believe, is the importance of partaking of the Lord's Supper and having these thoughts this morning, is that this thankfulness is engendered within our hearts as we think about what God has done for us. And now I want you to reflect back upon your thoughts as you partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. And as we offered up the prayer to God regarding these things for which we are thankful, what were your thoughts? What were your feelings as you thought about these things? Let me suggest to you that if you were not thankful to God, your thoughts were not what they should be. Because if we truly realize what God has done, if we truly realize what Jesus has done, one cannot but be thankful. That is the result with our mind being upon the proper things. A couple of other words that contain the word charis within them. Eucharistia, and I'm not pronouncing that correctly. It's an anglicized pronunciation of it. But here I want you to notice that with both of these words, Eucharistia and Eucharistio, that both of these words have charis within them. And the first is a noun, the second is a verb. Eucharistia means thankfulness, giving thanks, being thankful, the result of gratitude. If we are not thankful to God, we must change something. And that is our attitude. I want you to look at a few examples with me this morning. The first one is of Jesus Christ, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Here I want you to notice with me those who are thankful. Just a few examples. John chapter 11. And here verse 41. Here Jesus has come to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the Bible says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Jesus here upon the earth was thankful that God heard him because of the fact that he could lift up his heart in these words to his Father who was listening to him, that Jesus was thankful for this privilege. And I want to ask you, are you thankful for this privilege? Does the mere fact that you as a Christian can lift up your desires, you can lift up your heart, your prayers to God, does that engender this gratitude? As you think about all that had to occur and transpire for you to have this great privilege to personally talk to God? Or do you just take it for granted? If our attitude is correct, then when we pray to God, it's going to be with thanksgiving, with this great gratitude within our heart for the simple fact that He is listening to us. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. And I want you to notice the attitude the Apostle Paul had for other brethren. He says here in his prayers that he does not cease giving thanks for them while making mention of you in my prayers. So here is Paul's attitude toward his brethren. And I ask you this morning, is this your attitude toward your brethren? Is this your attitude toward those who are assembled with us, a part of this congregation, and in other places? Are you thankful? Do you have this gratitude toward God for your brethren, for those who are part of the body of Christ, those saved by Jesus Christ, those washed in the blood? And do you have this gratitude for them? This is the attitude we must have. And indeed, this will be reflected in our prayers. Turn your Bible with me over to Revelation chapter 7, and I want you to notice what's going on in heaven, or what will go on in heaven in part. Revelation chapter 7 and beginning in verse 9. Here is John. He is having the vision of the throne of God as all the saints are there. Great multitude. After these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. What's going on at the throne of God? The giving of thanks, of thanksgiving. And brethren, if we are there, and I trust that all of us will be, before the throne of God, in heaven for eternity, what are we going to be doing but giving of thanks? And we need to be giving that thanks today. We need to have this attitude. We need to have this engendered within our hearts. And let me suggest to you, if we're not the people today to give thanks, we're not going to be the people in heaven that are going to be giving thanks. It's this whole attitude toward God, that we are so thankful for all that He does for us. Well, how do we give this thanks? Let me just remind you of a few scriptures. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We are thankful for our food, as Jesus Himself taught us to be, and to give thanks for our daily bread. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude or thanksgiving. Is this our attitude, even for a simple plate of food? Is this our attitude? That way we would take just a moment and bow our heads and give thanks. Or do we take it for granted? It's no big deal. It's just a little bit of food. It only cost a small amount of money. Nothing big about that. Go to the grocery store, pay a little money, take it home, do whatever you do. Nothing big about that. But is it our attitude that God has given this to us, and it is a gift from God? And if it were not for God, He could take everything away. Even our food. To be like poor people in some places of our world who do not eat for days. We sit here and we are so fat. Not long ago I heard a guy on the radio talking about being in Paris and talking about sitting on the sidewalk and watching the people walk by. And he said, you can always tell who the Americans are and the Germans are because they're so fat. Didn't used to be that way. Not nearly so much. Because God blesses us with so much, and we take it for granted, don't we? We do. As Christians, we shouldn't take it for granted, and we should gladly take a moment and thank God for our food. I want you to go to John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. And I want you to, again, notice an example of Jesus, John chapter 6 and verse 11. And here Jesus is feeding the 5,000, actually more than that. Then He took the loaves, and having given thanks. Now as you see the things that are going on here, and Jesus preparing to feed all of these people, and here He pauses and He gives thanks. Which one of us should not give thanks for the simplest meal we've ever eaten? And should we not be ashamed for the times we have partaken of God's blessings, even in a simple bowl of cereal, and not given thanks? You see, if we do that, something is wrong with our attitude. Something is wrong with, deep down within our hearts, there is an attitude that is wrong, that must be changed. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Of course, we are thankful for our salvation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Here again, Paul writing, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. How often do you pray giving thanks for your salvation? How many times should we pray giving thanks for our salvation? How many times a day should we pray giving thanks for our salvation? You see, if we don't do that, that's telling us something is wrong. Something needs to change. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, chapter 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. This whole attitude of thanksgiving is absolutely necessary to staying alert and staying vigilant, watching out for sin. Watching out to make sure that we are on the straight and narrow path. To have this attitude of humility and thanksgiving that we're totally reliant upon God. And the moment that we are not thankful for our salvation and our blessings and all that God does for us and all that He gives us is the moment we are most vulnerable to the devil, who is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the moment we're not thankful is the moment he is about to snatch us and devour us. And turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Of course, verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. How much more plainly could the Lord have said it? Always giving thanks for all things. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. When the day is going bad and things are not good and you're down, maybe feeling sorry about yourself, do you ever stop and pray and give thanks for everything that you have? Name them one by one. You ever try that? I've never been able to complete it, by the way. I can't ever think of everything. I mean, the list is just endless. But what does it do for you? What does it do for you? How do you feel after you do that? After you pray and you just are so thankful about everything and all the blessings that you have, your problems just disappear, don't they? They do. Totally overtaken by all the good. Sometimes one or two things will just ruin a day, ruin a week. But then when we just overtake them with all of the good, all of the blessings, who can be so thankful to God? Just pouring out their hearts in thanksgiving and not have a good day. That's the way that it works. In prayer, we offer up thanks to God, but also by choosing the right things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Beginning of verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. We're not involved in sin, we're involved in thanksgiving. Who can have a heart that's right with God, pouring out thanksgiving to God and engage in sin? It doesn't work that way. Because when we're engaged in sin, we're truly not thankful. Do you see how that works? I can't be telling a dirty joke, thankful for my salvation. It doesn't work that way. So we as Christians, we're busy offering thanks, not engaged in sin. The Associated Press, a poll taken recently regarding profanity, and you know as well as I do that profanity is getting worse and worse and worse. March 2006, the use of profanity in American culture is increasing. Nearly 75% of people questioned said they encounter profanity in public. Two-thirds said they think people swear more often than they did 20 years ago. And I can attest to that. 64% said they use the F word, ranging from several times a day, 8%, to a few times a year, 15%. In addition, young people admit to using bad language more often than older people. They also encounter it more frequently and are less offended by it. The poll showed that 62% of people age 18 to 34 acknowledge swearing in conversation at least a few times a week, compared to 39% of those 35 and older. What does that tell us? We're in an increasingly sinful society that is less thankful. That's the world in which we live. It's going to be harder and harder for us living in the world to keep our mind right and keep our attitude right. We're going to want to adopt the attitudes of the world. The me generation. The give it to me now society. The unthankful society. You know, sometimes people ask me, do you go out on the day after Thanksgiving to shop? And the answer for me, not that I think there's anything wrong with that, is no. Because I do not want to be around those people who are trampling each other to save a couple of dollars on a toy. Well, that didn't happen 20 years ago that I know of, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago. I don't want to be in that situation. That's our society. More and more people subject themselves to sin, becoming more sinful and less thankful. I challenge you to be more thankful. July 2004, nine U.S. soldiers coming home from Iraq on a two-week leave get on an airplane. They all had a ticket to sit in coach. The flight attendant of this American Airlines flight had several individuals, at least nine, asked to exchange their ticket to let the servicemen sit in first class. And they went back and sat in coach. Why? Because they were thankful for what the servicemen had done. And this is the same for you and I. When we are thankful for what God does for us, then we too show it to God in the things that we do. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 15. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man? For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. As for our lesson this morning, thanksgiving and thankfulness come from the heart. Brethren, if we are not thankful as we ought to be, if we're not offering the thanksgiving up to God in our prayers, if we're not acting the way God would have us to act, it's because we are unthankful. It's that simple. And certainly all of us, I'm sure, can see in our lives and see where we need to change, we need to improve. And my challenge is to you to do it. And don't wait. Don't wait. Make the commitment to yourself now to make those changes. Thankful hearts are obedient and worshipful. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. where we had our scripture reading this morning. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, passing between Samaria and Galilee, and there were 10 lepers. They wanted Jesus to heal them, and Jesus healed them, and they went off to show themselves to the priest. But only one, who was a Samaritan, came back. Verse 16, and he fell on his face at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And Jesus says, hey, weren't there 10? Where's the other 9? Let me ask you this. Why did not the other 9 Jews, those who were Jews, so spiritually blessed by God, why did they not come back to Jesus? And the Samaritan did. Because the 9 were not thankful. They did not care about offering their thanks to Jesus Christ. They did not care about bowing down at His feet to worship Him because they were not thankful. And the Samaritan, who was the least religious, supposedly, of them all, at least in worldly terms, is the one of the 10 who came back to give his thanks and to worship Jesus Christ. Today, if we are thankful to God, we are going to worship and we are going to be obedient to Him. We're going to want to know what He says, and we're going to want to do that in our lives. And we're going to do whatever we have to get to that point. One illustration for you. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And beginning in verse 23. You probably know in the second century, the Lord's Supper was called the Eucharist. Eucharist, that's one of the words we're talking about this morning. And simply means thanksgiving. And that's been taken up in religion today as being some doctrinal statement, and I certainly am not setting it forth as that, but I'm just relaying to us all the attitude that second century Christians had in partaking of the Lord's Supper, that of giving thanks. Justin Martyr, early second century, writing regarding the Lord's Supper, and this food is called among us Eucharista, the Eucharist, of which no one is allowed to partake but the man who believes that the things which we teach are true, and who has been washed with the washing that is for the remission of sins and unto regeneration, and who is so living as Christ enjoined. Why do you think men called the Lord's Supper thanksgiving? Besides the fact that Jesus gave thanks, and we give thanks before partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, let me ask you, when we give thanks, what are we thankful for? You know what it is. Jesus, His death, the sacrifice of His body, the shedding of His blood. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks..." So we're giving thanks. We are thankful in partaking of the Lord's Supper. And as I get ready to conclude the lesson, that gets us back to where we started, doesn't it? Because as we prayed with our opening prayer this morning, as we thought about partaking of the Lord's Supper, we were giving thanks. And what was in your heart while you partook of the Lord's Supper this morning? Thanksgiving? Such to commit yourself to God in worship and obedience? To do whatever He asks, however He asks it to be done, and to do whatever you must do to understand how He would have us to live. That is thanksgiving. And I believe the Lord in His infinite wisdom has ordained for us to do this every first day of the week, because we need to be reminded how thankful we truly are. Giving thanks to the Lord. I'm glad our country has a day of thanksgiving. I'm more glad that we as Christians offer up our thanks every day. I'm glad that you offer yours, and I'm glad I offer mine. Let's all think about the lesson. Let's all commit to be more thankful. Let's all commit to offer up our thanksgiving to God in word and deed more than ever before. Let's all make changes. If you're not a Christian, you can show your thanksgiving to God by obeying this morning. Obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you be washed in His blood, your sins be forgiven. Then you too can partake of the feast of Thanksgiving, the Lord's Supper, as a Christian. Think on these things. Whatever we might do to help you in your walk with God, won't you come to the front and let us know as we stand and sing.